Lamed Tes and Shabbos. Let's start again from the Mishnah on Lamed Tes on the base. Get back into the Sikh. The Tanush is Sikhur Bekash, Begiv Abba, Lo Yitain, Ben Mitocho, Ben Yad Abba. Kupak is Sikhur Bekash, Begiv Abba, Harezek Yifirayim. Begetet Uveitzim, Arim Ketanun. So as we spoke yesterday, this Mishnah is interested in defining an interrelationship between the Kli in which the Bishul would be taking place and the fuel which is used. So it's telling us a very interesting Kiddush, that you can have something which is midway between the two extremes of Kelim. The two extremes bring the Tanur on one end, which is very, first of all, it's very stable, in that it has it's a thick and it's big, and therefore it maintains its heat, it's not exposed, and it's built in such a way to maintain heat inside it because of its construction. Wide on the bottom, thin on the top, doesn't have a lot of exposure to the air, in the area where it would be most likely to lose because of the air convection. When it comes to the Kira, it's the exact opposite. You have a very large surface area to disperse heat because it has a place for Shvitat Shtik they wrote on top. It's basically flat, and obviously it doesn't contain anywhere near as much density of matter, and it doesn't have the ability to maintain it. In the middle you have a kupach. A kupach is not a tanur, but on the other hand, it only has a place for one kedera, and therefore it maintains its heat better than a kira, but nowhere near as good as a tanur. Here our Mishnah tells us that for all intents and purposes, we'll treat a kupach like a kira if it was heated with gebet and etzim. Did I say like a kira tanur? I meant like a tanur. And we'll treat it like a kira if it's heated bekasha begivava. Now, exactly what the other elements are, we're talking about Gorifakotum, or we're talking about Shihia, Chazor, and so on, all of that seems to be left up in the air. Now we're going to clarify that in our Gemara. And so, says the Gemara, I said the Mishnah, right? Tanur Shizikua. Now, Sonar Yezul Meimar, when we make the distinction here in the Mishnah, and we say that it's Osir Tocho, and it's Osir Al Gabav, we mean those two conditions, Tocho Tocho Mamash, Al Gabav Al Gabav Mamash, Avalismo, Shabidam. To put something next to a tanur to warm would be okay. Now the Gemara uses this assumption here as a wedge to open up the other issues of the Mishnah, which is what's the situation vis-a-vis grief of the Ketima, and really Shia the Chazor, as we'll see. Now, Abaye asks on Rav Yosef's contention that Kupach, Shisikua, in our same Mishnah, after Tanur, continues on to say that a Kupach, Shisikua, Bekasha, Begibaba, Harehu, Kechirai, Begetet, Uveitzim, Harehu, Ketanur, in which case, if it's Ketanur, it's Osir. But if it had been Kekira, in other words, it would be Mutter. Now, I'd like you to define to me clearly, says Abaye, what exactly is the status of this Kupach? We heated it up, and we heated it up, Begetet, Uveitzim, you're saying then that it's a tanur. If it's bekash begavava, so then it's kikira. Fine. But let's take a look at it for a moment. We heated it with gebet of eitzim. We're saying it's a real kitanur. Mashma that what? That only because it's a tanur it's osir. But if it would be kikira, it would be mutter. Right? I mean, obviously. Otherwise, what's the point? Now, I'd like to have further clarification about the case. B'mayaskina. When you say in a kira, it would be mutar. Are we talking about al gabam? Let's assume for a moment we're talking on top of the kira, which is a standard case. Okay? Again, are we talking about a garufa the ketuma or an ena garufa the ketuma? The mind. Ilema b'she'enu garuf the ketum. Now, the truth is that the Gemara sticks, according to Abaye, with this assumption, that it's not garuf the ketum. Rashi says, I don't know, we just sort of took this case because kasaka darkly b'she'enu garufa. It's not that Abaye had a particular prejudice to say he was talking about an ena garufa. Tosfos says, well, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, then why does he stick with it when you need somebody else say, no, it's talking about actually where it was Goruf. I mean, it's the most obvious thing. You started off saying, and what's the case? So finish it up and say, okay, so I can talk about the Goruf Viketuma. Tosfos explains that a buyer holds that it is absurd to consider that the case would be a Goruf Viketuma. Why? Because we're trying to say that if I use Gepet Veitzim, then a Kupak would be a Tanur. If it's a Goruf Viketuma, that's ridiculous. How could it be like a Tanur? But Bishleim, if you're telling me that it has heat inside of it, you want to be Machman, I said, yeah, fine. But I mean, to go along now and to say that we're talking about a grufa, and there's a difference between getet, the eitzim, kash, and gevava. The point is, you took the heat out, and you're saying that a kupa cannot maintain heat in the same way that a tanur can maintain heat. So why would I give it a dinner of a tanur? Oh, it's got to be talking about b'she'ena grufa v'ketuma. And I'm taking it as a double portion, says Abaye. That's what it's talking about. If it's ena grufa v'ketuma, so then why are you telling me it's osir because it's like a tanur? But if it would have been like Akira, it would have been Mutar. Akira is Mutar? Who said Akira is Mutar? Kira. Ki ena guva de ketuma. Al gabab mishori is Akira okay. For what? Uh-oh. We didn't say for what? For Shia? or chazora? What is the case? Is Akira mutami? The mashmaut is, well, Akira certainly can't be mutar, even if it's talking about Shehiya, which is, of course, Shalok Yechananya. I mean, we just finished the whole page and saying that Akira is mutar for Shehiya. So what are you telling me it's not mutar? From here brings the Rif Araya that we have thrown Hananiah out of the window, and the Gemara doesn't even entertain it. What is the Gemara should have screamed at a buyer? What do you mean? Of course, and Akira would have been mutar. And we just say, according to Hananiah, she is mutar. Must be that the Gemara has concluded, as a Dabar Pashur, that the Halakha is not like Hananiah, which forms the basis of the Rif Sak, Shaloki Hananiah, because of the Stam Sugya, and the continuation. Right here? The other Rishonim say, no, not at all. Because this Mishnah has to be seen essentially as a continuation of the previous Mishnah. If the previous Mishnah was talking about a case of Chazorah being Asr, so then obviously the next Mishnah is going to talk about the case which we said was Asr in the previous Mishnah, which was Chazorah, perhaps, if you hold like Hananiah. I mean, it's just as open as it was before. We didn't know how to learn the first Mishnah, we don't learn the second Mishnah. So therefore what we're saying is, assuming that the first Mishnah was talking about an Isra of Shehiyah without Guruf of the Ketima, then what would be the din in this Mishnah? Abai is saying, now what, there is mutter without grief of the Ketima? What are you saying? Akira would be mutter, Akira wouldn't be mutter. Assuming that it is mutter, but then obviously the case that we're trying to talk about it in comparison is the case where it's Asr, namely Chazera. Then this Mishnah would be talking about Harehu Kikira Vasur Lachzeralav, not Asur Lishotalav is mutter. Okay, so now you're telling me the only reason that this thing is Asr is because it's like a tanner. Yeah. No, and Akira would be mutter. Akira is also not mutter to be chazala. Ella's got to be talking about me. The only way the case makes sense to me, taking my assumptions being, first of all, can't be talking about Goro Fakatu, because by no stretch of the imagination would I turn a kupach into a tanur if it doesn't have any fuel in it, so that doesn't make sense to me. So it can't be Goro Fakatu. And it's got to be talking about the case that was usher in the first Mishnah. And here you're saying the only reason that it's usher is because it's like a tanur. It doesn't add up. Because even if it wasn't like a tanur, it was like a kira, it would still be usher. Therefore, the only thing that the Mishnah must be saying is that it's a tanur and usher in ways that on a kira it wouldn't be usher. Aha! What is that, my dear friend? Smicha! So in a kira, it's okay to put it next to the kira, as we saw. And by a tanur, it's not okay. And that's the whole point of the Mishnah, for God's sake. You're telling me, when you say, well, smicha's okay. I mean, analyze the Mishnah. The only thing the Mishnah was talking about was smicha. And you're saying, well, smicha's okay. On the contrary, smicha's the one thing that's not okay. Because everything else would have been usher anyway, even if it was a kira. Therefore, says Abaye, Rabbi Yosef's conclusion is completely unsupportable for the Mishnah.
Everything else you would have known already.
Everything else doesn't matter to me. What do I care if it's like a kira, it's like a tamar? I mean, there's no point in saying it because it's usher and kira too, given that it's in a group of Bema Ketuma.
Why is it in a group of two?
Because, as I said, otherwise... Because otherwise, it makes no sense to turn a kupach into a tamar when it has no fuel in it. If you're telling me a kupach is capable of being shomer, it's home and it warms up under certain conditions, what conditions? Where I took the fuel out? It's so unlikely. I mean, I'm just not willing to entertain it.
As the tanner was made to do that, to hold the thing. Kupach is supposed to hold the
tanner. Yeah, kupach is basically, it's a stove top. There's no way what it's going to stay that hot that it should be like a tanner. I mean, it doesn't really seem reasonable. Of course, this is the one weak link in a biased chain of reasoning, so that Rabbi Yosef can insist, as Ravada Bar Abba does right now, that, you say if it's Ruva Vikatum, it can't be like a tanner. Maybe the point is that it's shomer its chom sufficiently that we have to be machmor more than a kira. That's all that it's saying. It's like a tanur in that sense. You can't put it on top. It's not like a tanur. What are we saying? That smicha is also love dafka. Therefore, says Rav Ada Bar Abba, no, I say it's talking about a kupach that is gara v'katur. It's talking about a tanur that is gara v'katur. And that's the point, that areyu kitanur, the chiddush being that a tanur is so much shomer its chom, the apagav, the garuf, the katum, it's osir al gabat, but only al gabat, because if it was a kira, and it was gruf of the katurma, then it would be mutar al gabat, because it was gruf of the katurma. So there, shapir dami. So in other words, the tanur, even though obviously if it's gruf of the katurma, we can't real, or at least gruf, we can't be chayish for chitui, there's nothing to be chote if your gruf is entirely, but it's certainly mechzikim avashal. We have that element that we always need to take into consideration as well. As we said yesterday, putting something in an oven, it just doesn't look like the right thing to do on Shabbos. Depending on what you hold, whatever you hold, even like toasters, you're putting it right before, it looks like you're cooking it. I mean, you're planning on cooking on Shabbos. Not the kubal aleinu.
On an oven or a kubal?
In a tanur. In a tanur. So, even though there's no chashash of chitui. Tanya kavasi de Abaye. Lamaisa, we have a raya that Abaye is right, and that the smicha actually is osir. Here's this tanur in this bright that says, tanur shisikua bekasha begivava, ain't somchimlo. Even if it was only kasha begivava, you cannot do smicha to a tanur. And obviously, Ein Tzarich Lomar Al Gabav, Ein Tzarich Lomar Al Tochoi, certainly can't use it on the top and on the inside. By the way, again, those modern poskim who seek to turn our electrical ovens into a gira as opposed to a tanur, one of the important things that they're sonich on is this, that Ein Tzarich Lomar Al Gabav, Ein Tzarich Lomar Betocho. That is to say that a tanur has a top and an inside. That something which only has an inside, such as our ovens, they're never used on top. I mean, it's a separate kira that's on top, obviously, with separate sources of heat and so on and so forth. So our ovens, by the way, that's a very modern thing. Usually you have this big thing, and on top, here's where you put your pots. You have a separate burner or anything on top. You have this thing that stayed hot all year round, basically. It's been afforded to cool it down year round. It just stayed on in the middle of that. When you wanted to eat something, put it on top of it. So this is the meaning of a tanur. Our tanurim, we can't eat on top of them. Or the klamatka, they're called kiras that you put inside. Instead of, there, where do we find it? There's an opkamir between tofu and be that as it may, but it's certainly not included in the concept of tanur, which were machalik between tofu and agabav and so on. Kosha ain't lo agabav ain't lo tofu is the way they put it. Okay, I mean obviously they're put it together with the other sheet as a whole that we don't aser really this bin of tofu. We don't really necessarily aser if it's under. We'll talk about it in our halacha review later. Okay. Right. So here it says, Beferish ain't somkim lo. Obviously, you can't put it on top, can't put it inside. And obviously, if you use gefet veitzim, I mean, that is nothing to discuss. I mean, here we're talking about even kash the gevava when it comes to a tanur. Kupak, shisi kupak kash the gevava, there is somkim lo. There's no problem. Huh? You see, then that's the issue. Then in notrim al gabav, the gefet veitzim ain't somkim lo. Beferish not like Rabbi Yosef, exactly what Abaye said. That really the whole focus over here is on smicha. The gefet veitzim ain't somkim lo. Only the vach, right? Rabbi Rabashi. I don't understand exactly what a kupach is. This is the first time that the Gemara is going to deal with this issue. We've been taking all of this for granted. I mean, I don't get it. Ikekira dami, I feel the gefet veitzim. If we're talking about its insulating capabilities, so then if you're telling me it's a kira, so then what's I understand. So then if it insulates as well as a kira, then what's the difference if I use gefet veitzim? It still is not going to keep its heat that long. And if you're telling me that it insulates like a tanur, so then even if it's kash v'gevav, it should also be aser. Namilo. And explain to him that it's basically constructed to be in the middle. Nafish havle midakira, vizuter havle midatanu. It keeps its heat. By the way, havle is heat in the Gemara as opposed to temperature. So nafish havle midakira, vizuter havle midatanu. Hefidami kupak, hefidami kira. How exactly are they constructed externally? Omri Biosi Bechanina, a kupak has only makom shvitat kteracha. It has room to put one pot on a burner. Whereas a kira has place for shvitat shtei kderot. And that explains the difference, because there's so much more area to lose its heat in a kira. Omri Abai, vitein Rabbi Yirmiya. You know, it's interesting, we can see this clearly. Afana nami tanina, we can see it clearly for the Mishnah in Kalim. Because the Mishnah in Kalim says that if you have a kira that was split into two lengthwise, it loses its tumah. But if it's split into two widthwise, it's still tumah. Now, shenken a kupach, whether it's archa or archa, would be tar. So obviously, a kira that's split into two along its length has no place to put anything. If it's split into two, well, along its length, I meant, sorry. Yeah, we're not using a long, Gemara's using a long, I'm saying a long, it's saying length. So in other words, if you cut it the long way, so it has no place for anything. If you cut it through its width, it still has a place in each piece left to be used. Yeah, so there it doesn't lose its tumah. But the kupach, no matter how you split it, it's gone. It doesn't have room now for anything. Out of the box. Always out of the box. The question is, you have to be attached on some level to the box. But that's true. Now, we here are concerned with two issues in this mission. First of all, we're concerned with the question of cooking not utilizing a fire. And there's a number of different ways to do that. We can heat things up with a fire and cook with that which was heated. That's very standard in hotel kitchens and so on. You have a steam heat or a hot water heating. That's called toldot ha'ur, something which came directly from the fire, but is not the fire itself. You can also cook with alternative sources of energy. You could cook in the sun, or you could cook with radiation, with other kind of radiation. What would be the din there? There you would need to distinguish between whatever that source was. Let's call it chama, because that's what we use for alternative sources, just as a shortage. You have toldot, you have chama, and you have ur. Chama includes everything else, including uranium and so on, in those cases later on. But that's all called chama, just coincidentally. So there you have to be mechavik between chama and toldot chama. You'd think that toldot chama would for sure, chama is mutter, toldot chama for sure. Hamar Mutter. But notice that Toldot HaHamar are easily confused with Toldot HaOr, whereas Hama and Ur are not confusable. Yes. You could come up with a strange situation in which water that is heated from a solar heater is more Hamar because of the fact that the water that heated it was circulating while it was in a separate container. Whereas if the water itself had passed by the sun, then maybe it would be Mutter, which of course has every connection to our modern contraption.
Yeah, and it looks like it was there.
Yeah. Well, it's worse than that. The main thing doesn't have Xer at all. It's even worse. All right, so that's one issue. The other issue that we need to talk about is what is called cooking, precisely. Now, some things are edible without cooking. Cooking certainly improves them. Is cooking a process that needs to be essential in order for it to be the diraisa of cooking? That's one issue that we might consider in this mission. Another question is, we spoke about cooking machal ben drusoi before. There are things that are cooked in such a way that you can't distinguish machal ben drusoi. Some things are cooked by the simple passage of hot water over them. Let's say tea leaves, something like that. Is that called cooking? It's not even the water long enough, necessarily. The tea itself, especially when we make it nowadays. Is that called cooking? How about something which is easily completed by just putting it into hot water? Would it have to be on a fire to cook it? Could you cook it because whatever heat it needs, it's called the derech habishul for that thing by just using maybe some hot water from a faucet? And that would be cooking? Exactly. All of these issues, really, I mean, if you take the various Mishonim's approach, there's really four or five different approaches to some of the sugyas in the Mishnah. But between all of the approaches, we would deal with all of those shaylas, really, and more. So, in the mean beitza, beitza hamecham. And here's an interesting case, because a beitza, first of all, a beitza has different levels of cooking. Some people like hard-boiled eggs, and some people like soft-boiled eggs. Furthermore, a beitza doesn't take much to start getting hard. A little bit of heat, as you know, when you leave it in a place where you shouldn't have left it, and you sort of, it's no longer the nice egg that it was, it's already starting to get the equivalent of a soft-boiled egg, which you didn't want, sometimes even on a nice hot summer day when you make the mistake of leaving your eggs outside. And that's another issue. So it's kal levashel. Another question is, it can be eaten raw. Many people eat the eggs raw, just the way it is. So, I mean, is that considered to be a bishul then, if it really doesn't make any difference? I mean, we know by bishul akum, if something that's eaten raw, the bishul akum is not considered to be bishul. It's unimportant. So maybe that's true over here. So we take a beitza as a nice example of a couple of different possible issues. You are not allowed to take this beitza and put it next to a hot water kettle. If your intent is bishvil shetit galgel. You want it to, now, tit galgel is also a word that we couldn't use by anything else but an egg. And it's a very useful word, because other things, either you could be tzoler or you're not tzoler. Whatever defines it, tzliyah, it's considered gemachal ben drusoi, whatever it is. It's the beitza that goes from the level of tit galgel to the level of actually tzliyah, the way the Gemara puts it. So a hard-boiled egg is tzalui. Mit galgel is it's sufficiently solidified that you can now spin it, which of course is the test for an egg. If it spins, and you can tell how well it spins. You can tell how well it's cooked.
That's not what they have to do.
Because the yolk moves and therefore absorbs the energy of the spin. So it won't spin. So tip galgal. Right? So therefore, when we say we should go to tip galgal, we mean even to just make a soft egg. Soft enough to keep the yolk in one place, but it's still not a hard-boiled egg. So you can't put it next to a water kettle. Now, a water kettle would be cooking with water that was heated on the fire, but it's now in the heat's in the water, not in the fire. So I'm not cooking in a fire. I'm cooking by exposure to heat, which is being held by water that had been heated in a fire. Is that considered to be
touching water?
It doesn't necessarily have to touch. Near.
Assuming that the heat is going to be
exactly. You put it on top of your kettle, basically.
How will the texture get sufficiently enough?
I don't know, but in our restaurant experiments, that can be one of the things we'll do. We'll have different people eating different levels of it. You guys can handle that part. We'll deal with the steak issues. The Loyavki Enobisudarim. Now, the other thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to crack an egg open on a handkerchief that has been sitting outside on a hot tin roof. We'll get to the hot tin roof itself later. But it's been sitting outside and it's a really hot handkerchief. You're not, of course, this is not a handkerchief because a handkerchief wouldn't keep very much heat in it. But a sudar is a nice thick, you know, turban thing. It contains a lot of heat. It's not at a very high temperature, perhaps. But again, if I break an egg in it, the egg cooks. So I would be cooking then in, not in the sun, but in the toldot hachama, in something which had been heated by the sun. So don't do that. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's no problem in doing that, actually. Rabbi Yossi matir. We're going to see in the Gemara how far Rabbi Yossi goes. And you should not put an egg into sand. Now, this is not sand, any old sand, because as Tosis points out, the Gemara says clearly about Metzia, that sand is only an insulator. It's not going to heat something that's cold, and it's not going to cool something that's hot. It'll keep you in whatever state it was. So it's got to be talking about over here heated sand. In other words, this sand has been sitting on a hot beach, and now you are going to put your egg in the hot sand, and you're going to have yourself a fresh egg on the beach without needing to even bring along a mango. Don't tell the Israelis about this. It would destroy the national day of celebration. So don't put it into chol. Don't put it into avak drachim, which when the roads used to be covered with dust as opposed to tar, that would be a good way to cook an egg too, because there was one place where the sun, things would be exposed to the sun. You take your egg and you put it under an area of the street that was hot and hope nobody drives it in a truck. And then you get yourself a nice hot fresh egg. So you don't do that. Now, here for some reason, Rav Yossi doesn't seem to argue, which is strange. I mean, why did he say it's okay in the first case when he was talking about the handkerchief, and it's not okay when it's talking about sand? So that isn't clear. Nobody's going to be bothered by this. Ma'aseh sha'asu anshei Tveria. Now, there was actually a ma'isa. In Tveria, of course, they have a great geothermal source of heat. Problem is, you can't drink that stuff. And it's highly mineralized. And so what did they do? They basically used geothermal energy to heat their swimming pools. But they used fresh water, of course, put through pipes that went through Chamei Tveria. The water got hot as it passed through the pipe, and then you had piping hot water. So they took a silon, which is a hose, and it was filled with cold water. They passed it through an ama shel chamin. So they had a long area where they had the Chamei Tveria flowing along. And then there was this closed pipe that went through the ama. And they had a great life going for themselves until those rabbis found out about it again. Sure enough, if somebody's having a good time, what did you know?
This was really awesome.
Rulam.
The Chamei Tveria and Tveria are two separate areas.
But you can take a little walk out there for a nice bath. You know.
I don't know what the extent of it is.
So, Amrulam Chachamim. Well, we're going to tell you guys something. Im b'Shabbat, if you're talking about now the water that had passed the pipe on Shabbos, we're giving it a din of Chamin Shulchamu b'Shabbat, v'asurim. It'll be like water that you heated on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to rechitza, not allowed to take a bath in it, you're not allowed to drink it. It's bad news, which is mashmash. If you had hot water from Erev Shabbos, it would be okay to go swimming in a heated pool.
Isn't this
a in other words, be yes, sir.
But it is chamin shulchamu.
But it's not cooked in the way that you would think would be yes, sir. The im biyom tov, chamin shulchamu biyom tov. Of course, you can't use it to swim in. But you can drink it at least, because you're allowed to eat water for drinking purposes on Yom Tov. We'll get into the details of this in the Gemara. But first our question is, Yiboyalu, Gilgal Mai. What would be the din if a guy went ahead and he actually did cook an egg in this way? Is this like a gzeira that we're afraid you're going to cook the egg normally? Or is it an actualistic right? Rav Yossi, look, this is cooking. Gilgal Chayav Chatat. I mean, being as an egg can be cooked in this fashion, and it's advantageous. No, it can be cooked in this way. In other words, this is something, it requires very little cooking. And that's considered to be cooking. What do you mean? But cooking means a major change. Something that requires a major change, cooking is a major change. Something that requires a smaller change, it's a smaller change. Again, if that's the issue. There are other Rishonim who explain that the issue is cooking in something that was heated by the fire itself. Is that a deraisa or derabbanan? Says Rav Yosef, that's a deraisa. Because lemaisa, it cooks. What's the nafka mean? It all comes from or in the first place. There are those who ask that in the Mishnah there was actually, in the Mishkan, it would appear that there was actually toldot ha'ur as the lechatchila, because in the description of the hachana of the shemen hamishcha, it talks about using hot water for cooking it up, in which case that would be a fundamental kind of bishul. This is just a whole discussion in the Yachronim about. Omar Margaret de Ravina, Hachanana Mitanina. Rabbi Yosef is saying this because as far as the truth is, that we actually see this very clearly from the Mishnah we're going to see later on, that kol shabada chamin milifnei Hashabbat. Anything. Now, Rashi learns this is talking about anything that was meant to be eaten as a salted, like salt fish, herring, that type of thing, which usually is put into a hot water soak before you eat it. So if it was put into that hot water before Shabbos, there's no problem of going and doing the same thing on Shabbos itself. And that way you soften it up and it's heated and so
again,
on. Again, with hot water, because you're not cooking, you're simply heating. And once it's mevushal, that's not a problem. So Sharina dobechamin b'Shabbat. But kosha loba b'chamin b'fnei Shabbat. If you hadn't finished doing what needs to be done before Shabbos, then maybe chinoto b'chamin b'Shabbat, you'd be allowed only to pour hot water over it. You couldn't soak it in the hot water. And actually, some things you couldn't even pour hot water over, such as chutz min hamaliach yashan. If you've got some very well salted old herring, which requires just a little touch of a wash off to be ready to eat, and that's its completion. Or Kuryas Hispanin, which is a type of, Rashi says a tunina, which also requires just a quick wash. So it's a, it would be a kind of, you know, Japanese dish, maybe. Raw fish with a quick wash, but this is a wash sushi, hot wash sushi.
Why don't you just put the outside kikupa,
the rishon? Yeah, we didn't say it's kli rishon yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. So those things, hadachatan, zoi gemar malachatan, we're over there, that is actually the thing that you'd normally do to it. Then that's its cooking. Which shows what? Well, it depends which sheet that we were following the Mishnah, which is what the Mishnah is trying to show. Which shows, perhaps, that hot water is the way to cook. Which shows, perhaps, that light cooking, if that's the way that it's cooked, is cooking. Which shows, perhaps, that something where people would have eaten it raw anyway without it is still called cooking. Again, each approach to the Mishnah brings a different raya as to what this shows. And Lamaisa, it's all of the above, which is usually the case, is we need to take into consideration all of these issues. Now, the Shaila is over here about what are we talking about, what type of Iroi. That is really a machlokas we've shown. And remember, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that Iroi of a Kli Rishon, actually, is the same as soaking in a Kli Rishon. So obviously can't be talking about, you can't be Shora, but you can be Ma'ara, because that doesn't make any sense. Same thing. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, as Tosis points out over here, the of course that we had back in Chulin wasn't really a question here, but by extension, he would have to learn to talk about Iroi from a Kli Sheni. So those sheetahs that are marked on Iroi of Kli Rishon would learn that the Sukkah is talking about a Kli Sheni.
Are you talking about another Shlav, or are you talking about
another Shlav?
In other words, even that's not going to cook at a certain temperature.
No, this isn't cooked, this is salted.
So you're just washing it off, you
know? No, it also has a pu'ula on the thing. In other words, you'll taste the difference, not only in terms of washing it off, but it gives that last, yeah, it gives the last steepen. I mean, again, you need to be bulky and herring to appreciate this thing. It takes a lot of gut to go through these South African foods. People have been working on me, and gradually, you know, I'll take maybe a slightly perceptible
to try.
Is there
an issue of makapathish
here? Oh, interesting question that David asked. There are those who tiny that since it says it's kibar malachtan, so then it's makapathish. All of the achronim go wild over this, because if it's makapathish, the whole gemara falls apart. What are we bringing a riot within a bishul for makapathish? You're certainly not going to say that on a base that's makapathish. Makapathish is the final stage of any malacha that makes a... Oh, excellent. As Scott brings out... The Mishnah Brura actually, in the Bir Halacha, goes to town to prove that the icing on the cake is not makapathish, and that there's no such thing as makapathish on food. Now, there's an actual relation to makapathish in Halacha. So it wouldn't be shayach on food. Hot water. But hot water, again, very curiously, in Halacha, is not defined by its temperature. It's defined by its and its container's heat. So you could have something at the same temperature in a different container, which is now going to not
But in this case with the fish, it has to be able to do something to the fish.
It's hot enough,
hot enough to do that.
Hot enough in terms of heat contents or hot enough temperature-wise?
Whatever it takes to make that fish change its nature, that's the temperature of the water. It has to be in orange.
Yes. Be cold water and hot water or whatever it is. I mean, why
well, there's different stages in the difference between cold water and hot
well,
water.
Well, I mean, obviously, for this, there has to be a differentiation. Otherwise, it would have said you couldn't rinse it in cold water if you made that difference.
Yeah, you can't be mavashal in cold water. That's so a given for the Gemara.
There has to be a degree that says...
Sure.
Thank you.
By the way, cold water, in this case, if you take a real salted herring from the mess they use, put it in cold water, that's the Machanazol, that's for sure. That's preparing it for food.
But that doesn't have to be a bishul. Machanazol.
Why isn't it the Gemara?
Because it's trying to say that a bishul that completes what's needed is called bishul.
Only.
Only. No, even. Not only, even. If you have something which is kali, it's bashel. Even. By the way, this halacha is in fact very nogea the tea question, by the way. Because from here we see a klal, the dvarim that are kalei bishul. You cannot even do hadachatan, which is the reason that we're machmir not to make tea on Shabbos.
It was tea bags, right? How was doing fresh tea?
Same thing. Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I thought
a tea bag is fresh tea
and
in a bag.
It hasn't been in water yet.
And it hasn't been in water yet. Right, so there you have something which may be a kal bishul. Wow. Its standard preparation is with the iroi. How can you be maaron on Shabbos? You would be actually cooking it.
So why?
Could you even leave a cold one?
No.
So why do people do it?
you would need a kli shlishi, and there the problem is that there is a din of temperature as well, which kli shlishi doesn't deal with, which we'll see later on, which is a higher level of temperature that is called tzirin, which is not yad soledet, but yad nichevet. So yad nichevet, according to many shitas, doesn't matter how much heat there is. Only the temperature matters. In which case, if you have hot water that is still scalding water, we use the same concept in English, scalding is nichevet, then there's no such thing as a kli shlishi, it won't matter.
The place is worse,
it's higher. It's higher, sure. Yeah. So let it means you pull your hand away. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's damp. Sholet, the Gemara, it's not a Gemara term. So the interrelationship between temperature and heat actually breaks down when you get, according to many shitas, when you get to the stage of Yad Nichvet, then already we consider it to be the same, no matter how little of it, how little heat there would be in the Yad Nichvet. Yeah, we're trying to bring a riot at your Chayav Chatas.
So maybe saying, how do we know that you're talking about
that is exactly the Taina on those shitas that understand exactly. How do you prove from here that this is a Din of Chayav Chatas? That's what the other Rishonim Taina, on those who learn that that's what the mission is coming to establish. According to those who learn that the mission is coming to establish that it's possible to say that it's derech bishul on something that is not an actual fire, and Rabbi Yosef is saying you're chayav chatas. Can you show me exactly where do you see chayav chatas? Bishulim, if you're telling me you're looking at marmalach, I'm fine. You bring a rabbi from here. That is bishul. It's marmalach. What in the world does this have to do with the proof that this is derech bishul? That's already a whole different question. But that indeed is the taina against the sheep. The Gemara wasn't even raising that point according to those rishonim. Because otherwise, how is it proving it for me? Sorry?
Saying, I'll leave for another point.
Oh,
that's it happened.
How do we have it even in the Gemara itself?
Never looked the gift horse.
Even in the Gemara itself. Even the Gemara itself, why does the Gemara assume that it's...
Exactly. That's the thing. So it must be that that wasn't what the Gemara set out to prove, according to the Rishon.
Even though it's Afananamitnina.
Afananamitnina, the part that we were in doubt about, which is whether Bishul is Gemara Malachim. Weren't you going to tell me that Gemara Malachim is the definition of Bishul? I'm saying Chayav Chatas. Yeah. The next case in the Mishnah was, don't use a piece of material heated in the sun to cook an egg. Now, haditznan, notnin tafshil l'toch habor. Now, wait a second. How about the Mishnah that says that later on, you can put your tafshil inside of a pit, bishvil she'esh shamur, in order to maintain the temperature? Furthermore, you could take a pitcher of clean water and put it into a cold pool of dirty water, in order to keep it cold. You can take a clean water pitcher of cold water and you can put it out in the sun in order that it should get hot. Hey, wait a minute. Put it in the sun in order to get hot. But the Mishnah just said, you're not allowed to use a hot piece of material. Oh, you shouldn't be allowed to use the sun. So are we saying that this is going only according to Rav Yossi, the Mishnah? The Stam Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi? Velo Rabbanan? Om Rav Nachman said, Rav Nachman, no. Actually, counterintuitively, everybody agrees that if it's in the sun itself, there's no problem. Because nobody's going to confuse eating in the sun with putting into a fire. They view it as two completely different things. So there, the Rabbanan also would have been Moda. You could cook your egg in the sun. You can't cook your egg in a thing that was heated by the sun. So therefore, there would be no objection to a solar oven. You know, they sell these solar ovens. You want to make yourself a steak on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to make a steak on Shabbos, fresh steak. Just put it out in the sun, you have the concentrated sun.
The fact that it hits the reflector.
No, but it's still directly there. It's not something that's heated by the sun. I'm using the light of the sun. There's no problem in cooking on Shabbos proper in the sun using solar energy.
But what is look at my picture.
Picture. Oh, here? Yeah.
But doesn't that help...
No. Again, it's a question of what it looks like. I mean, we're using the light of sun.
Picture, that'd be a problem with that large
Maybe. I mean, that's one of the things that's considered in the problem of the solar water heater.
Are you going
to publicize it?
No. In clear mind, you want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not being broadcast.
It's a life-saving rule.
So keep, furthermore, the Toldot HaUr, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue about things that have been heated in a fire, that those things now are going to be usher to heat something else. He also agrees. You notice that he doesn't necessarily argue in all of the cases over here. He's Moda about that. Keep pleading the Toldot HaChama. The only machlokas that we have over here is, you heat something in the sun. Now you use that something, you heat it in the sun, to heat something else. So one mandiyama, namely our Tanakama, holds that we're going to be gozer Toldot HaChama to Toldot HaUr. Since you can't tell the difference, once you're looking at hot water, was this hot water cooked in the sun, or was it cooked in a kettle? I don't know. So if we allow you to use hot water that was cooked in the sun to eat something else, you'll use hot water that was cooked in a kettle, because it's not nikkur in the mayim itself that there's a difference. Therefore, we make gzeirah todot hakama otu todot ha'un. Umay son alo dezrina, and whereas the other mandiyama holds, there's no such gzeirah. We're getting to that. We're getting to that. But that would be a whole shiloh, whether they are there bats in Gehenna or not. This is we're getting to that. Loloyat minenu becho. Now it furthermore says, you cannot eat it in sin. The liflog nami Rabbi Yossi Baha. How come Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue on the later cases? How come he only argues on the sudar? Why doesn't he argue on using the hot sand? Rava says, look, it really has nothing to do with the issue. It's a separate gzera. Gzera shema yatmin beremet. Since sand is often mixed with coals, as we've already seen by the Ketima issues, we're afraid that you're going to use remets and then you'll come to actually, make a fire on Shabbos if you poke at it and so on. So we just include this in the general iser of chitui b'kachalim. Remets is a mixture of dirt and ashes. In other words, when you put it out, and this is what you're left with. There's plenty of hot parts to it. The other simple explanation, Rabbi Yosef says, it b'chalal doesn't have anything to do with bishul. It has to do with the question of bishul meziz afar mimekomo. We are worried that if you're going to cook in the sand, you may end up maybe making a little hole in the sand. Because the top sand is loose, so there's not a problem maybe. But if you push a little too hard, and the sand is packed on the bottom, then you're digging on Shabbos. So therefore, we make a zera when it comes to that. Same thing would be true about Abad Drachim. I mean, what if there's not enough? You want to dig in a little bit. So Mamela, just because of that, nothing to do with Bishol at all. By Binayahu, the difference would be, if you have set aside your own little oven, which consists of basically nice soft sand in a box, and your kids play in it when the sun isn't out, and your kids bake in it when the sun is out, and you put an egg in it if you want a hot egg. So there, I mean, obviously there's no chashash of mezi zafar mimakomo, not of muksa, not of chitu, it means there's different approaches to this, so there's no problem at all. Hashemkin, if it's a gzer of remets, then we answer it. Next, you all know the movie, Egg on a Hatun Roof, right?
Yeah.
So that's this. That's right. So that's the Shaila over here. Can you boil an egg on a Hatun Roof? So it says over here, yes, you can. You can actually put your egg out on that Hatun Roof and cook it up on Shabbos. But, Ein Megadlin Beitzah Gavi Sidro Teach, Masha Ein Kein, you cannot take hot seed out of the, where they process it and it's burning. And use that. Retains its heat for a long time.
Seed is created through fire?
The limestone thing that they have over there by Nevaseret, there's a big limestone thing. So there, Bishon Lamanem Exer Shemi Yatmin Beremetz, if you understand the problem of Remetz doesn't apply over here, perhaps, but Lamanem Revelation Meziz Afar Mimakomo, why aren't we afraid, if you put it on a roof, why aren't we afraid that you're going to maybe dig? Because a normal roof, Stam Gag, let me afar. I mean, certainly a hot tin roof, there's nothing to dig on. So a normal roof doesn't have anything that you dig into. No, I'm kidding. They had tile. They had tiled roofs. They had tiach roofs. Tashma.
How does
the
seed get hot?
That I understand. That part is clear. Everybody's voted that's awesome. But the question is, why don't we say that it's usher to do it on a roof? Because of the gzeira. Yes, but you said that Rabbi Yossi is moda, that you can't put it in afar drachim, you can't put it in chol, so why can't you put it on a roof? According to that man Yomer, answers the Gemara, because a roof in Achinami doesn't have, usually, this type of thing on it. Toshma. If the gezeira is shema yatmin beremet, okay, shema yatmin beremet, so what they're doing is basically hatmana. You're answering any hatmana, is what you're saying, even according to Rabbi Yossi, that you are okay in using the chama, but not in a case where you may come to the yatmin beremet. Okay, so then this is the type of hatmana. That's why they told him it's no good.
The water, running the pipes of the water, sure. Is hatmana?
Of course, by definition. You bury a pipe in hot water. That's hatmana.
What is the other way around?
What?
What's the other way around? A hot water pipe over
to cool them? That's okay.
Hatmana
is for heat, not for cool. Elaman di amar b'teshim eziz afar mimakomo. The only reason Rabbi Yossi is arguing is because of the problem of moving afar, a hole. How could that possibly be affected in a case of where we're dealing with water? I mean, you said it's not, wouldn't affect you in a hot tin room. Why would it affect you in a pipe of water? Water is not, there couldn't possibly be a way to come to an issue of Mezis afar mimakomo. Answers he, mi savet maiset very asefa. How did you understand the Mishnah? That the Mishnah, we were trying to bring a riot that there's an iser in avak v'chol, and we're saying not only avak v'chol, but also chametveria, and therefore you should know that there's certainly everybody would be mode about that. And say, now you're bothered. What do you mean? Avak v'chol, I was mode only because of Meziz Afar. What are you talking about? There's no comparison to the water. And that's a complete misunderstanding of the Mishnah. On the contrary, the Mishnah was coming as a raya against, actually, what we were saying over here was that this case of Maisa Tveria proves that even Toldot HaChama should be Esser, which is a raya against Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that it's mutter. So if anything, the whole story of Tveria was a weapon being used by the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi. You claim that you're allowed to use a hot handkerchief, and the Chachamim did not allow us to use Chametveria. So why is it? What's the difference between Chametveria? After all, Chametveria are essentially only a hot handkerchief because you heated them with geothermal energy, which we're assuming now is nuclear, and not Toldot HaOr. So therefore, why would there be an Isser? Comes along Reb Yossi to say, Amar Lahu, you're wrong. Geothermal energy actually comes straight out of hell, doesn't come from any kind of nuclear processes. And it's actually called Toldot HaOr because it's Chav HaPitchet again. Might say, the idea of Chametveria is unique. Chametveria is one of those places which anybody who's been to Tveria recently can see, is clearly coming straight out of hell and not from normal sources. Well, the earth is cooling. The original processes that keep the earth hot inside, and the radioactive breakdown. So according to the Chachamim, that's not Aser. Rabbi Yossi is tiny again. I mean, the question of, you know, how seriously we mean this type of thing again, the idea that the halacha considers the perception, not really not any reality. So we view that as being, that heat is the way we view hell, essentially, right? We go straight down to hell. What is that supposed to mean, down? What's down? That's because we understand. The earth is hot. That's our concept of the remains of the original heat. Omer of Chista, mi ma'aseh, sh'asu anshei Tveria, v'yasu l'rabonan. You know what? After this story, gosh, this had terrible implications, because after this story, that the Chachamim asked anshei Tveria from using their wonderful hot water, I mean, they had this water going from the day, during the daytime, and they asked it anyway, which means that they're telling you that if you put something in, and something's going to keep it hot, and it adds heat, like Chametveria adds heat, you can't use it on Shabbos, even though you put it in before Shabbos. So you see from here that there's no hatmana b'davar mosif hevel. I understand. It's a fair submission that you can't. I mean, we had a whole discussion earlier about what you're allowed to do in terms of hatmana before Ben HaShemashah, during Ben HaShemashah, davar mosif hevel. Mishnah says later on, an ain't told me that it's also, I know, I have a parish of Mishnah, I need to know Mimaisa Shasa Anche Tveria. The answer starts a number of possibilities. That could be over here, Mimaisa Anche Tveria, that they ossered them in eating it if it had been done. So they said, we're going to ask, you can't drink it. So if you can't drink it, it means over here that if you had been Machman, it would be also to use. That's what he means. So that Hatmana now becomes actually also to use. The other Chagatosis brings is that it appears from here you can't be Machman even a Kedera Chayata, even a raw Kedera. Before we said, we don't have any problems with raw things, because anyway, you're Masalik Didats from it, because it's got all, it's not going to cook for tonight. So here it's Mashma, they were Masalik even there. That's another Chavin Tosk. Omar Rula, the fact is, Halakha can't shake Tharia. Forget about the Chachamim. They're right, it's okay to use the geothermal energy to heat that pipe. Omar Rab Nachman, you're too late. Kvartafrino and Shetveria, the single mile, they already busted it, it's gone. Forget it. They've accepted that Halakha. You ain't going to recreate it. Ma'asenshah Shuan Shetveria. Now, they said, you're not allowed to take a bath. Meaning what? Remember Chitzako Bufa, what they mean literally? To go take a swim in this thing? And they're saying, we're going to give it a din of chamin that are cooked on Shabbos, and therefore you can't take a swim. You're telling me that only water that's heated on Shabbos, you can't take a swim. But if you got water heated before Shabbos, you could take a swim. Now, that's a nice idea. So chamin shulchamu, chamin shulchamu be'erev Shabbos is mutarim, v'atanya chamin shulchamu me'erev Shabbat, if you have a container of hot water, then you can use it on Shabbos. You can use it for your face, your hands, your feet, but you can't go into a pool with the stuff at a low kogufo. All right, so then what are we going to be forced to say? That when they said we're going to treat it like water that was heated on Shabbos and it's usher, we mean to say usher even for point of view of Aglav, correct? Ah, but now the rest of the Mishnah isn't going to make sense. Because now that we're saying, okay, so now Ima Sefer, and if the Anshei Tveria did this on Yantav, we'll give it a din of kamin shuchmu b'yantav, and it's usher to wash, but it's mutter to drink. Excuse me? Usher to wash in yantav? On water that you heat it on yantav? You're telling me you can't heat water on yantav to wash your face? Only Beit Shammai holds that. Are you telling me that's not stomach of Beit Shammai? Then you got a stam mission like Beit Shammai. It's not. Beit Shammai omrim, lo yecham adam chamin l'raglav, elayim ken lo yimishtia. According to Beit Shammai, you can't heat water to wash your feet unless they're also drinkable, meaning and intended to be drink. Beit Hillel matirim. So we've got to be talking about now washing your whole body. But then we have to go back to the other sphere. Then the other diak is, which means that on Shabbos, if you have water, that was ruach on the air of Shabbos, and what do they want to wash all body? We're talking indeed, we're talking about taking a shower, taking a bath in this stuff, and it's going according to the following man, the Omer, who in fact is matir on Shabbat, such a thing, as long as it was done before Shabbat, under certain circumstances, the Tanya. So Rabbi Meir is very machmer not even to take a cold shower if you're going to wash your entire body on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon, matir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, depends. B'chamin asur, b'tzonein mutar. Okay. So that means when Rabbi Shimon Matir is going back, bein b'chamin, bein b'tzonein. So that means we have a Tana named Rabbi Shimon, who is an awfully popular Tana, otherwise known as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he allows you to take a hot shower on Shabbos, apparently with water that was heated before Shabbos, obviously, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. So it's kicham and shuchma b'Shabbos, and therefore it's usher. But had it been ucham from Erev Shabbat, then Enoch and Anya would have been mutter. And if it's kecham yichuchmu b'yom tov, so then we're going to ask for the whole body, according to Beit Hillel, because we're matir only one of the other Baragla train. Om Reb Chista, well, it's not quite as simple as you think. Machloket b'kli, avol b'karka, divrei hakol mutar. Actually, if it's in a swimming pool, then nobody is going to think that you heated the swimming pool today. Swimming pool takes a long time to heat. So therefore, if you've got a heated swimming pool, everybody's mother you can use your heated swimming pool on Shabbos. Because there's no chashash that you're going to heat your swimming pool on Shabbos. You have to start heating it a few days before anyway. So in the mail, it's not a problem. What? But the mice of Anshay Tveri essentially is a heated swimming pool, if you think about it. It's in the karka. It's going to be Bechale. Well, it's certainly not going to be Bechale in a case-to-case basis. You're telling me, in the karka, there's no problem. That's the case with Anshay Tveri, you know? And they took the hot water, and they have now a bath, a heated bath for themselves. So that's in the karka. And the Rabbanit said it's us. That's a problem. Now, let's reverse that. Actually, just the opposite. Machloket Bekarka. Where did Rabbi Shimon say that you can actually take a hot swim on Shabbos? It's not in a pool. Even Rabbi Shimon is made that it's usher, because there it's easily confusable with chamin that we're huchmum on Shabbos gufa.
Is that before?
And that, gentlemen, concludes our exciting daf plus for the day. And now we are going to do our review, our structural review, our halacha review, and our daf review, and our midas hayom review. Then we've got our Yerushalmi review. And you have no questions as to when the next daf will, because we'll be sitting here until we get to it. There's still a chance to add your, this is your opportunity, your big opportunity, to add your two bits, which can be $100 and up, to Rav Shlomo Kaplan's Tzedakah Fund, which provides actual edibles for Shabbat in Gemara, in Barnea's Gemara, right there. Shabbos. So we have a nice envelope for that purpose. Anybody who hasn't given yet is welcome to give.
For Shabbos,
For Yom Tov, I'm sorry, this is for Shavuos.
Insulating the problem, putting a blanket on top.
We're going to see. Okay. That's a whole paragraph that's dedicated to that.
Why people hold the swimming is us around
that? That's a different issue. We're going to get to that soon.
Just going in a pool might not.
That's right, exactly.
Just going in.
Washing is best to swimming. We'll see that by swimming, we have other things to consider, like little swimming tubes or like.
Making a raft.
Making a raft. A nice little blow up tube.
Is that what it is?
Undoubtedly. Put over your experiences at 6 o'clock to 9:30. Okay, our mission here on Lama Chesana Days. Let's go for it, huh? Tanur shizikur bekasha begavava lo yitain me mitocho bein mi al gabav kupak shizikur bekasha begavava reze kikirayim begefet uveitzim areyu kitanur. Tanur shizikur. Sofer of Yosef Lameimah, tocho means tocho literally, al gabav means al gabav mamash. Avalisvach, what's the problem? Efe abaye kupach shisiku bekash begivava areo kechirai begefet uveitzim areo ketanur v'yasur. Okay, but hakikira shori. Aha, b'mayaskina ilem al gabav u'b'may. Elan begishen a gore pekotum as must be. This does his experience. So elakira again a gruva pekotum agaba mishari elalav lismoch vikatani areo ketanur. Yes, sir. There you go. It's also lismoch. Omer avada baraba hacha bekupach goru pekotum. And the tanur agrufa vektuma. So therefore we're saying areo ketanur the af agav the gore pekotum. Agababasur, whereas if it had been kikira, then if it had been grufa uktuma, it would have been fine. Nothing to do with the smoke. Lamay satani kavati de abai. Tanur shisiku, bekash begivaba, in som chimlo, vein sarich lomar agabab, vein sarich lomar latocho, vein sarich lomar begepetu veitzim, which would have everything wrong. Kupach shisiku, bekash begivaba, som chimlo, vein notnim agabab, vole shino, the gra has notnim agabab. Okay, that settles it as far as the bride is concerned. Look, it's not the shavle mid kira, and zuzer havle mid tanur. Hechidami kupach hechidami kira. On Rabbi Yisro Rabbi Chanina kupach makom shvitat kider akat kira makom shvitat shtei kiderot. Om Rabbi Vitame Rabirmi, Afananamitinina, Kira, Shinech Lekalo, or Chat Ora, Lerog Batimea, Kupach, Ben Loko, Ben Loko, Tahor, which shows that a Kira can actually be split into two usable parts. Ein, Notin Beitza, Betzara, Necham, Beshur, Shitit Kalgeo, Velo Yapti, Eno, Besudarim, Rabbi Yossi, Matir, Velo Yat, Minena, Bechol, Bavak, Drachim, Beshur, Shitit Sale, which Rabbi Yossi agrees to, strangely. מעשה שעשו אנשי טבריה, והביאו סילון של צונן לתוכם ושל חמים, אמרו להם חכמים, הא, אם בשבת, כחמים שוכמו בשבת ואסורים ברחיצו בשתייה. אם ביום טוב, כחמים שוכמו ביום טוב ואסורים ברחיצה ומותרים בשתייה. איפה אלוהו. What about if you went ahead and גלגל מים? אמרו רבי יוסי וגלגל, חיית חטאת. אמרו רבי נפנן ונתנינה. כל שבא בחמים מלפני השבת, שורין אותו בחמים בשבת. וכל שלא בא בחמים לפני השבת, מדיחים אותו בחמים בשבת, חוץ בין המליח הישן, וקויס היספני, שהדחתן, זוהי גמר מלאכתן, שמאמינה. לא יפקן בסודרים, עוד את זה נתאב שלתוך הבור בשביל שיש שמור, ואת המים היפים ברעים בשביל שיצננו, ויד הצונן בחמה, הו, 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 בשביל שיהיה חמור, are you trying to tell me, להם רבי יוסי ולא רבונן? אומר נחמן, no. The Chama itself, kulei amalo pligi de shari. The toldot ha'ur, kulei amalo pligi de aser. The question here is, ki pligi de toldot Chama. So my sovid, rabbanon ol gazrin, and toldot Chama, to toldot ha'ur. And Rabbi Yossi, otzvo gazrin, and that's the whole question. Well, lo yatminena b'chol, how come Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue in this case? Rabbam egzir shem yatmin beremetz, which is often chol and avak. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi meziz afar mimekomo. Maybe now we can have a farti choach. Mitzvah. Rav Shem Gamli Olamu Megagalim Beitzaga Begagroteha Vein Megagalim Beitzaga Besidroteha. So Bishlam Lamanu Begzera Shemayat Bin Beremetz. Okay. And a gag like a Lamegzah. Where is this Gebremetz? Elaman Diyama Bibne Shemeziza Farmi Mekomo. Maybe there'd be offer. Meh, Stam Gaz Bless the offer. Toshma Maase Shasuan Shetveria. There's no point in it. הביאו סילון של צונן לתוכם ושל חמים. זה בשלם, למען יום הגזר שם יתמין ברמץ, fine, okay, this is התמונה. But למען יום הגזר שם יזיז, הפעם, אם בגלל הליקוויד, you're gonna gasp. מה יקלו מהימה? No, מי סבן מייסס, דען שטבריה סייפה קוי. הרי שקוי, we were trying to prove to Rabbi Yossi that it's awesome, okay? We said, לא יפקנו בסודרים. Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter. So turn around the Rabban and they say to Rabbi Yossi, aha, you think it's mutter? Her Maisid Anshitveria is basically Todot Chama, just like the handkerchief. And the Rabban said, it's Aser. And he said, no, it's not Todot Chama. It's actually Todot Ha'ur, the Chalfei Apitchet again, Omer Chista. Mima Aser, Shasu Anshitveria, and the Chachomi came along and Aser, that's the end of Atmona B'dover HaMosif Hevel Afil Midodion. Omar, Ula Alof Kan Shetveria. Omar, Rav Nachman, you're too late, Ula. For Tavino An Shetveria, let's see Lunayu. Ma'aseh Shosu An Shetveria. Now, they answered Rechitza. What kind of Rechitza? Ilem Rechitza at Kol Gufo, so what? Chamin Shukmu B'Shabbos, so they're Asurin. You're telling me if I have Chamin Shukmu Me'erev Shabbos, it would have been Mutter? But Tanya, Chamin Shukmu Me'erev Shabbat, Limarcharo chitzrim only for a vera veragla. Avalot kol gufo. So Ella, what are you going to say? That it's talking about for a vera veragla. What do you do about the sefer? The yom tov kikam and chukmu be yom tov asurim brachitza. Mutorim b'shtia. So what, you're telling me you're not allowed to wash your pun of Yarav Raglav on Yantav? So lema stan tomer tzunam kebet shamay. The tzunam bet shamay amin lo yecham adam chamin l'raglav. Elim ken ruhin l'shtia ubet yelar matirin. Om ravika bachananya. Na. We're talking about a shower. Shtadikram kol gufa askina. And it's going Reb Shimon. I tanu, the tanya. Lord, yishtatef adam kol gufo bein b'chamin bein b'tzonein divri Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon is matir, even in chamin. Rabbi Yeromer, b'chamin asur, b'tzonein mutar. Omer Chris, by the way, the Machlokes says only if it's in a bathtub. Avo b'karka divri akol mutar. V'amai sedan sheitveria was b'karka, and the Rabbanan asur, oops, sorry, elo yinach yidma. Machloket b'karka, avo b'kli, divri akol asur. Rather got the free.
Did Sonnen mean like not the slightest?